It's Celtics coverage on clnsradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Hayward lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Ladies and gentlemen, back once again with the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show. The Boston Celtics took on the New York Knicks tonight at TD Garden, controlled the game basically from opening tip to final buzzer, winning the game 110-89. Looking at the box score, there wasn't a single quarter. Oh, yes, there was. The third quarter, the Knicks scored more points than the Boston Celtics, but all three other quarters, the first, second, and fourth quarter, the Boston Celtics outscored the New York Knicks. Once again, the final score, 110-89. Total domination in almost every way. The Boston Celtics were competitive on the glass, despite Enes Kanter's amazing 19 rebounds. We had an equally amazing 13 rebounds from Al Horford, which doesn't generally happen. But the total rebounds, 43 for the Knicks, 41 for Boston. The Boston Celtics out-assisted, better ball movement, as to be expected, than the New York Knicks, 26 assists to 20. But most importantly, that can't go unmentioned, first thing right off the bat, fantastic performances by both Jaylen Brown, our sophomore wing, and our rookie, or the Boston Celtics rookie, Jason Tatum. Combining for 45 points, I believe at one point during the NBC sports broadcast with Mike and Tommy, they mentioned that this is the first duo, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are the first duo in Boston Celtics history to score 20 points apiece at the age of 21 or younger. And with that, once again, the Boston Celtics win the game 110-89. I am your co-host, one of your co-hosts, Nick Sesento, and I am joined tonight by a new name, a new voice to CLNS Media, but a longtime follower, longtime member of the extended family, Sarah Russo, adding a much needed feminine perspective to the show that has been dominated by far too much testosterone for far too long. And in addition to both, I bring some progesterone sometimes, you know, and the estrogen a little bit. I'm in touch with my feminine side, but there's no replacement for an actual feminine opinion, female opinion. So Sarah Russo joining us, not to say that she should be judged by her gender or anything, but it's an awesome change of perspective. What did you take away from this game tonight, Sarah? And we'll jump to Bobby after we get to you, Sarah. What did you take away from this game tonight?
I think that we have the Tatum show. We have the JB, JT show. I think they have stepped up phenomenally. I remember back when I did preseason that, you know, there was this one unnamed guy out there and everybody's like, who's going to be that fourth shirt in that shop? It's going to be Tatum. He's like Rondo back when he came in, and he was like that fourth man you did not expect coming off that court. So it has been amazing to watch him. What a great birthday, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad you mentioned that. It was his 21st birthday tonight, if you didn't hear. And you know, they need a nickname at this point. I think tonight shows that it was 7-11 at first. They need a new one. I heard TB07 thrown out there around tonight. I don't know if they want their nickname to be associated with another player, but if there's anyone for it to be associated with, why not the greatest in Tom Brady? But they were phenomenal tonight. And yeah, I hate to bring it up again because we've had a lot of sad shows over the last week since what happened last week. And the Celtics needed tonight. I mean, a blowout win at home in front of the fans. I'm sure Geno Time was playing tonight. After all the doom and gloom, the travel last week, it just felt like a big relief for this team to get that 4 days of practice in, some days of rest during the weekend. And they looked on their game. It looked like they put in a new offense to kind of make up for the loss of Hayward. And they got everyone involved tonight, which is what you want to see in this offense.
I mean, I think if this continues, I think we're going to be major players again. I mean, once Hayward went out, everybody was – I mean, I haven't been on the show since I was in Florida last week. But when Shaq was down on us telling us that we were going to be the worst team, please. These guys showed up. Shaq. They played against Philly really well. I mean, it's the Knicks, yes, granted, and the defense looked really well tonight. But, hey, we're building. We have a new team here in Boston. People forget
that. Shaq must have been sniffing that icy hot or whatever, because that's ridiculous. But, you know, it's if you don't follow Celtics basketball, and, I mean, I would imagine Shaq does it's his job to follow basketball, and he was a member of the Boston Celtics, although often injured. He was the combination of Shaq with the big three and Rondo passing the ball was very impressive when they were on the court. But I honestly don't think that Shaq has been paying that much attention to the young players that are coming up in this Boston Celtics system. And it's not just Jaylen Brown, and it's not just Jason Tatum, who I'm going to christen Jays for Days because it's Jason and it's Jaylen. So Jays for Days. We got Jays for Days. But also players like Terry Rozier. Going down the line, Daniel Tice. I know we're going to talk a lot about him later on in the show because he's giving us some very productive minutes. Al Horford, as always, you know, doing everything, points, rebounds, passing the ball from the pivot and from, you know, the top of the key. Fantastic. Probably the best passing big man in basketball today, if not the best passing big man in basketball, one of them. And I'm going to pose a question to both of you guys just to start off the show real hot before we get to the callers. And we'll ask the callers this as well. Miley in Ohio, I see you. And Blair in Maine. This is the question I'm going to pose to you guys, Sarah and Bobby. Is Kyrie Irving the best player on the Boston Celtics right now?
No.
Go ahead,
is he the best? Based on performance in these past four games that they've had, I think it's four games. That's the fourth game of the season, right? Has he been playing the best?
But no, I think Tatum's our guy right now. He is the star. Irving did have 20 points or whatnot, but he's not. I don't think he's congealed well yet with the team formation, maybe. And again, I digress. It's only four games, and it might start working. But no, I mean, call me wrong. I don't think so. No.
Yeah, and I'm going to second that point. For right now, at this very moment, I'm going to say it's Jaylen Brown because Jaylen's been assertive.
Yes.
You know, he knows the system at this point. Tatum's had those low moments. I mean, he has made mistakes over the first four games. He has had moments where he's been out of the swing of things. But when I over the full four games so far, the guy who's been going nonstop is Brown, especially on the offensive end. He's putting his head down in front of him, driving past defenders. These guys on the perimeter have had so much trouble keeping him in front of them. And, you know, you haven't really seen rim protectors get to him either. He is just getting to the paint. And he's not really the kind of guy who's going to distribute from that point, which has been a problem for them because he's really the only guy getting to the paint right now in that department. That's a criticism I have of Irving so far is I don't think he's getting to the paint enough. But Brown is just giving them the steady scoring they need. They were going to be missing about 20-plus points per game with Hayward going down. And it looks like Brown's going to be a shoo-in for 15 every night, which I don't think any of us could have imagined.
No, and probably
probably
a candidate for most improved player.
He showed up really well, like I said, at the beginning of the season in the playoffs, and I said he was the only one on that court that wanted to win against the Cavaliers. So, Bobby, that's a great point. He looked really good tonight. I agree.
The one thing I will say about him at this point, and the team as a whole so far, is they've been a little foul-happy. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Justin Poulin on our network says it all the time. You want to use your fouls smartly. Use them to stop guys from getting to the rim. But he's been in foul trouble in every single game so far. He only got to four tonight, so he didn't really get to that point. But he's fouled out of a game at this point. Baines has been a little heavy on that end, even though I feel like Baines just is kind of out there to foul guys and hang around. But, it's not going to affect them on games like tonight because, like you said, Sarah, it is the Knicks. But Thursday, it's going to be a tough, tough game against the Bucks. In fact, they have three very hard games coming up against the Bucks, the Heat and the Spurs, two of them on the road. And that foul trouble is going to hurt. I mean, there's only a handful of guys who are scoring on this team right now between Irving, Brown, and luckily Tatum is really getting involved on that end early on. So none of those three guys can afford to get in foul trouble right now. And I'll give it to Rozier as well, double figures almost every game so far. So I feel good about that. Nick, how do you feel about the defense tonight? Because Sarah brought it up, and it was stunningly efficient. Dominant even, 89 points given up. I looked at the box score tonight and remember the Enes Kanter who's on that Knicks team, and I'm thinking Kanter, Porzingis, that's a big, big front line. They might give them some trouble, but they did not tonight, did they?
They kind of laid down and died. they didn't look good tonight. We're just getting into the season. I'm just interested to see, like, us from two months from now, where we're at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just I'm sitting here talking to you guys. It's just, I mean, they are still fun to watch no matter who they're playing. Like, last week with Philly, I was just like, oh, my God, they're actually going to win this game.
Yeah, and you got to give it to Stevens. Rebuilding on the fly when he first got here, and now he's had to kind of rebuild this team on the fly in just a few days. And it was a great, great scheduling result after that. You know, they had those three games and four nights that threw them off last week, I felt like, where you expect to have Hayward for those games. That's what they trained for 3 weeks to do. And then he's out of the equation. They pretty much have to play on the fly without him. And we talked about this on my podcast last night, is how this weekend was really a time of refining themselves. And you saw it in the way they played tonight. Everyone just looked assertive in the way they were moving. The passing was so good from the first few minutes. And like you said, the defense rotating well. Baines, Horford, interchangeably, were taking on Porzingis. And I like what you said. He was flat. All of his shots were hitting off the backboard, hitting off the front and the back of the rim. He was just completely out of his game tonight, 3 of 14. And that's a guy who scares you coming in. And he basically did nothing tonight, a minus 14 for the Knicks, worst on their team.
Must have been scared about our non-big three again.
Yeah, and it's a very great thing to watch right now. And I was saying it during the game, it's really unprecedented to have a team of this caliber with an Irving, with a Horford, and even with a Hayward if he was still here. Obviously, he's not now. But this is a team that just went to the East Finals, and to have two players so young between Tatum and Brown already playing at this level, it's amazing. And I think it's going to be part of the identity of this team is that youthful energy, those guys adjusting on the fly. And you can't leave Rozier, Tice, who was very good tonight, out of that either. Like, they are just getting good, good minutes out of these guys. And it's been the story with Stevens so far to start his career in Boston. But, you know, what better guy to kind of have leading the charge with what they have on this roster so far this year? Stevens just deserves so much credit for how they bounce back tonight.
I know, and I do. I love Aaron. I love having a new Kendrick Perkins on our team. You know, I've been missing that center for, what, 7 years?
Yeah, and it's a very good point tonight. They're able to start him when they need to against these bigger players. They're able to move him to the bench when they need to. Smart, of course, was out tonight, so they were shorthanded in that oomph up front, if you know what I mean. And he filled that in tonight. And what I love about him, and me and my friends talk about it too, we play basketball all the time, he's just really good fundamentally in the post. You know, tapping on the guy, really making him feel him when a guy is posting up on him, and then he gets his hands straight up. And you're right, it's Perkins-esque. He doesn't quite have that girth of Perkins, but the fundamentals down there defensively are just so good. And hopefully we're going to get Nick back here in just a few minutes. I guess I'm kind of transitioning the host right now. But
hey, host.
347-215-7771 is your number tonight. Bobby Manning, Sarah Russo with you here tonight. I see Ty Ray is on the line as well, another guy over here at CLNS Media who we like to talk to. Blair in Maine, who did a great Brad Stevens impression last week after they lost the game. And it seemed like he did really dig into this team and get more out of them today. And Miley as well is on the line. So we're going to get to all of you in just a few minutes here. Other takeaways tonight, besides the fact that the Knicks are just really bad, is is, you know, they do have ball handlers up and down this roster, and it's showing right now. Terry Rozier, I am stunned at how good he's been handling the ball so far. 6 assists tonight, a plus 24 when he was on the court tonight.
Right.
He has just been awesome. What do you think of Rozier so far, Sarah?
He's been impressive. I mean, he was kind of like, you know, that small force last year. So it's nice to see that he looks good on the court, but he's like being overshadowed by our younger guys right now because they just look so red hot tonight. So, but
Terry Rozier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Terry Rozier, I was screening some of the calls. Tyree is on the line. We see you, Tyree. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just jumping in on the conversation.
Yeah.
I heard Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier, I'm going to say this right now, is the fastest player on this Boston Celtics roster, number one. He's an excellent rebounder, and his ability to crash the boards and play, and he's an excellent defender, very long with his arms, has incredible wingspan. He's going to help soften the blow of losing Avery Bradley. He's not as great of an on-ball defender. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a mixture of, you know, being disruptive, shooting the passing lanes, but he's really fast. Mm-hmm. I think he's not quite, you know, excellent at finishing at the basket, but he can get there. He's going to be an unsung hero for this team as well, because that's what this team is going to – this team, if it makes a run, and I think that it can, I believe that it's going to be a top four seed, if not three or possibly even two, is going to be because those unsung heroes like Terry Rozier and those young guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are filling in the gap. I want to ask another question of you guys before we get to the callers. Speaking of Terry Rozier and looking at the Celtics' record, is this team, and I know this is specifically to you, Bobby Manning, but also to you, Sarah, I want to hear what you feel about this particular player. Are the Boston Celtics playing better without Marcus Smart?
Now that...
I'm
going to say no, because it's the Knicks, and it was the 76ers on Friday, and I know they've gotten a lot of hype going into this season, but they have a lot of troubles right now in going from being a bad team to a good team. And that is harder than people think. It's harder than just putting names on paper, as the Celtics showed. They were really able to miraculously transform that over those first few years here. But I don't think they're better without him. And I know what you're getting at right there, Nick. It's the shot selection. It's the shot selection. And
yes.
Man, Smart showed a lot in the preseason, as I'm sure you saw, Sarah. He was drilling those threes, taking them very selectively. But once things got a little bit wild last week, all the hectic travel and the Hayward injury and how unprepared they were for life without him initially, like we just talked about, I think Smart just kind of got out of the swing of things and just started hucking up shots, which is kind of instinct for him. It's instinct for Irving, too. You saw him get a little trigger happy in that Bucks game. But a lot more selective tonight, always looking for that extra pass. It's the culture of this team. It's the culture of Brad Stevens, is finding the right shot. And tonight, it just really played out in how efficient they were, how fast they built up that lead. They shot 50% from the field, almost 50% from three. They were getting good looks tonight, and that's what it's all about in this team. They really just reorganized over that long weekend. I'm going to keep saying it, but it was a blessing that they got all that time off to reorganize. So, you know, what do you think, Sarah? How is Smart's absence a factor in tonight's game?
I don't think his absence was a factor. I don't think the Knicks are that good. So, so when you're playing lesser of the teams, although some people might say, a.k.a. Shaq, that we are, I think Marcus Smart is going to be a huge addition once we start playing, you know, the bigger teams, you know, coming up. Yeah, I don't know. I love Marcus Smart. I like how he plays dirty. I'm all about dirty players, as you can see.
Thing. That's all Marcus Smart is the hustle plays, the diving on the floor. And you need those type of players. You love
you
those
do.
Type of players because they give up their body for the team and for the W. But I think it's more than just the shot selections. I think after Gordon Hayward went down, I think Marcus Smart tried to pick up that, you know, that role if he's going to try to be, you know, that next man up. And I think he kind of forced his way into that position a little bit more rather than letting the, you know, the game sort itself out the way Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are kind of letting it come to themselves. Jaylen Brown has definitely been assertive, but he's not playing outside of himself. It's coming naturally.
Yeah.
I don't think Marcus Smart, especially on the offensive end, because Marcus Smart just is not a good offensive player. As much as we love his hustle and his disruptive defense, can anybody name me a go-to move that Marcus Smart has? I've been asking this for two seasons now, and nobody's been able to give me an answer.
It's called hip-checking LeBron the hell out of the stands. That would be so nice to watch.
You'd
well,
love
that,
to see that.
That and line it frostbite
from outside.
Please, Marcus, somebody
take him out the way he hits players in his five-step traveling, but that's another day for another topic.
That's the LeBron treatment, the superstar treatment. And with that, let's. How about we go to the great.com CLNS Media call lines. They've been lighting up. We have several callers on the switchboard tonight. It's a popular night tonight. Surprisingly, we played a terrible opponent in a blowout game, and we have as many callers as we've had all season. So with that, the great.com.
Must be the female being here.
Exactly. They all want to hear that voice. They all want to hear the opinions of a genuine female sports fan. It's like an albino unicorn or something like that. You don't find, you know, intelligent, informed, you know what I mean, really diehard female sports fans. They're more common nowadays than they used to be. But you know, to have one on her own show is fantastic. It's
right,
definitely
let's pull a tie in. Come on.
so we have Miley in.
I like it.
We have Miley in Ohio, a regular caller who calls in often. Miley, we have two major questions on the show. I kind of asked the questions to bring in some hot takes. First question being, is Kyrie Irving or has Kyrie Irving been the best player on the Celtics in these first four games? And do you think the Celtics play better without Marcus Smart?
For Kyrie, for the past four games that I've been watching, he doesn't look like the leader that people say that he's going to be. But I think it's just because he hasn't meshed well yet with the offense. And then I think we're missing Marcus Smart because of the defense that he brings into the game.
Yeah.
And, like, also for scoring, too. So I think we're missing him on both sides of the ball from the way we've been playing.
And let's remember, tonight was a game that was really all about the interior defense and Horford and Baines and even Tatum getting involved down there. There was just this Knicks roster really stinks, as Sarah keeps saying, but there's no one on the perimeter that scares you on that team. When I saw Ramon Sessions was starting at point guard, with how many point guards there are in the league right now, good point guards, I was just like, oh, Jesus. Good Lord.
Let's hope they run Porzingis out of town and he comes to Boston, because I think he would be the perfect fit and the perfect player to fit into the system. Exactly what this team could use is a guy his size that has, you know, relatively good handles, decent defense, and can shoot from the perimeter. I think Porzingis would be a fantastic addition if the Boston Celtics could get him without giving up somebody like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But I think any trade the Boston Celtics make, anytime Danny Ainge picks up the phone from this point forward, is going to be Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. And I think Danny Ainge would be absolutely insane to give up either of those players, given how the potential of the future of having those two guys. Miley, what do you think about Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum?
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they look like they play pretty well together. And Tatum, I think he just keeps impressing me more and more as, like, the games go on. Jaylen Brown, since he's been in the league for a couple years now, it seems like he's, like, getting more developed, and he's used to getting the minutes that he has, and he's trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a good point, Miley. They really do complement each other well, and the Celtics don't have positions. We know that by now. They just kind of rotate guys in based off their skill sets, and, you know, Brown drives well. He moves well on his feet. He's quick. He's powerful on the drive. And Tatum, in today's NBA really is more of like a big man, not like a traditional big man, but a versatile power forward who can move his feet well inside and defend. I'm really stunned at how well he's been defending when he sent a shot.
And rebounding.
Yes, and well, I knew he was a great, great rebounder, but the way he moves his feet down there and is able to send shots flying, like, that's exciting me so much, because I thought if he was going to struggle this year, it would be on that end of the ball. So, yeah, I mean, as much as these guys have been buddy-buddy so far, they really do complement each other in the way they play, too.
I think so. To be honest, like, during the summer, I was kind of bummed that we didn't get Porzingis, though, after Phil Jackson was trying to trade him to us. I was kind of bummed about that. How about you guys?
Nick, what do you think of Porzingis?
Depends on what it would have taken to get him.
Just talking about him as a player in general, because you know, I know they played good defense on him tonight, but I mean, sometimes his shot just looks flat, inside, outside. He was really off tonight, I felt like, beyond the fact that the Celtics guarded him well.
Sounds about right. He didn't look too good.
Any last thoughts you'd like to leave us with, Miley, before we get to the next callers?
I was going to say, well, do you guys think that we're going to knock out the Cavs this year? Like, for the East?
Maybe. I mean, if we get Hayward back in March, anything could happen.
That'd be nice.
I don't think Hayward's coming back this year. But as far as this group goes, I think the key is going to be health and just keeping an eye on how healthy the Cavaliers stay, how healthy the Celtics can continue to stay, which has, you know, been a struggle so far through the first few weeks. And, you know, there's a little bit of beef going on in Cleveland. You know, that's something you got to like if you're a Celtics fan, the whole J.R. Smith, Dwayne Wade battle right now, who's starting there. you know, when Isaiah Thomas gets back there, Derrick Rose wants to play. He wants to get that next contract. Is he going to keep playing? Is that going to become a problem when Thomas gets back? You kind of want to see
Derrick
as much.
Yeah, but Derrick Rose already broke his other, you know, 35 bones. You know what I'm saying? He's already injured again, you know? I mean.
Yeah, I know, but you want to see as much discontent, as much issues there as you can find. You know, that's going to be a big, big part in the Celtics possibly getting by them. And I know I own Nick Gelso, who has been one of the biggest LeBron critics through the years. He's a free agent at the end of the year, and, you know, if he dies on leaving Cleveland, you know, he kind of has that out. If they lose in the East Finals, he can say, oh, you know, look at my team, and then just get out of there. So, you know, that's always a possibility. LeBron runs
He's
the show.
He's not loyal. He's not a loyal man.
So, you know, that's my thing. That, you know, as far as the Celtics go, it's just too early to tell. You know, tonight was great. I think they found themselves a little bit, but we're going to learn a lot more about them against some of these better teams coming up. So thanks, Miley. Appreciate the call as always.
Absolutely. Thank you, Miley. A great call, as usual. As Bobby just said, we love hearing from our loyal and dedicated fans that
they keep coming back. It's great.
Definitely. There's a following, and they want to hear, you know, not just the, you know, the mainstays, the voices that have been on CLNS Media for years, but also the new voices like Sarah that come in and give a brand new perspective. And it's, you know, it's good for CLNS Media, the fact that we have these fans and dedicated following. And speaking of those, how about we just go straight through to the next caller, another frequent caller. Long time listener, sometimes caller, Blair in Maine. Blair, what's going on? What did you think about tonight's game?
I didn't really watch. I've been watching the World Series. Break it to you that way. Hey, but I got something to actually ask Sarah. I want to ask her because she was mentioning LeBron, and I can't stand him anymore. Now being a Celtics fan, I really want to see us just take it right to him without our best guy, Hayward, not being in the lineup because he's hurt, right? He's hurt for the rest of the season. He won't be in. Hey, did you hear what we were in Philadelphia, right? And a fan yells to
Irving.
Irving, yeah, and he yells, "Hey, Irving, where's LeBron?" and then Irving says, I'm not going to say it on the radio again, but he says, go, you know, bleep, bleep,
yeah.
bleep. You know
he
what he says.
My D.
You probably heard it everywhere.
My D, as we've been saying on Twitter.
Yeah, it's all over. It's like Twitter. It's all over the Celtics. I don't know where else it could be.
They've been
be,
making
like,
T-shirts.
He got fined $25,000 by the league for saying S-M-I-D. So.
Yeah. I'm sure the coach, Brad Stevens, is not happy about this at all either.
That's a lot
I
to pay to get your D-S.
Yeah. And how much of a good player is he? He's a great player. I love that guy. And he should not be saying that. I keep saying over and over, that is something you probably should keep to yourself and walk away and go back to the locker room.
You know, it's still
it's
something
be
we're
hard,
getting.
Though.
It's something
hard.
We're.
Like,
yeah.
I'm a hothead. I'd be saying it back. I'd be like, $25,000? I'll write the check right now. Let me say what I got to say.
And I did do the math. That is way less than 1% of what this guy makes a year. So it wasn't
yeah,
too
yeah.
much to just tell the fan to do whatever he wanted there.
We'll
but
have a day.
I will say, though, I've seen a lot of T-shirts with the phrase on there now with Irvin coming out, you know, people trying to make a quick buck on it. That is the number one way to get kicked right out of high school if you wear that to school. So.
Hey, but can I say something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody's going to say something like to me, like, where's LeBron? I just say, hey, LeBron's back at his hometown where he was. If you want to say something, come to my face and say it. Straight out to my face. If you're that dumb, say it to my face, and I'm making $1,000 a year just to play for the Celtics. Say it right to my face. That was my homie. That was Kyrie Irving's homie, LeBron. They were playing until he didn't like LeBron for something, and then he left to come play for us. And he wants to bring us a NBA Finals? No way you're going to say that when he's in another home, which is the 76ers' home, that some dummy's going to say that to him.
I don't know. Do you really think that – I mean, I've never heard that Kyrie Irving and LeBron James were really homies to that extent, that they were, like, great.
Yeah.
Like they weren't riding banana boats together like LeBron and Dwayne Wade did, you know, on the beach riding banana boats. I don't think they were homies like that. I really think that LeBron James and Kyrie Irving are two very different players. LeBron James is in his, I think, mid-30s now or somewhere around there. He's a lot older than Kyrie. He looks like somebody's, you know, like great uncle or something like
yeah.
that. But he's
yeah.
only in his, you know, somewhere in his 30s. And Kyrie Irving is, I think, only 25 years old. So there's, you know, and that's it wouldn't okay. sound like that big of a difference. But LeBron James' entire life, from 18 years old, once he graduated high school, has been the NBA. Kyrie Irving at least spent that 1 year, I believe it was, at Duke. And you know that Duke is a very, you know, heavyweight intellectual school. So you have this guy Kyrie Irving, and when you listen to Kyrie Irving talk, he's very well spoken. He's articulate, and he speaks.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about intellectual things. He doesn't just talk about, you know, basketball. He likes to make social commentary, as does LeBron, by the way. And I think one of the things, not to go on too long about this issue, is that I believe that it wasn't the basketball aspect of it that Kyrie Irving had a problem with. I think it was the fact that, you know, he wanted to talk about some of the issues that LeBron James was talking about, the way LeBron
yeah.
James stood up against police brutality, and Kyrie Irving
mm-hmm.
would never get asked about that. Kyrie Irving would only get asked about what LeBron thought about it. So I think one of the breaking points, and there was an article written about this, when Kyrie Irving made the comment about the flat earth, which was kind of a halfway trolling, halfway, you know, joke kind of comment, it blew up, you know, the internets. And Kyrie Irving was like, well, when I want to talk about actual issues, you don't want to hear my opinion. You just want to ask me about LeBron James. But when I say something stupid about the earth being flat, suddenly everybody's paying attention. He wanted, I think, where he could have that voice. It's actually not my point. I read it in the article. I wish I could remember the source of who wrote it. But it's a very interesting, you know, take on that perspective that, you know, Kyrie Irving, not the shadow on the court. because I think Kyrie Irving, you know, who wants to leave a championship opportunity? But more so the fact that Kyrie Irving is a very intellectual individual, and he wants to have a voice of his own, and that voice is being overshadowed by LeBron James and his own voice being basically the face of the league. What he says is basically he speaks for the league. Thanks for that call, Blair. I know you're watching the World Series. Get back to it. I don't know what inning it is because the Boston Red Sox aren't playing, so
we
I
don't care.
The Houston Astros, the L.A. Dodgers, I mean, move them back to Brooklyn for all I care. You know what I mean? What do you guys think about Blair's call and about Kyrie and LeBron being homies?
Yeah, it's been a non-stop topic that Irving's had to hear about this year from the minute he got here, through every press conference, through every, you know, post-game chat. It's all about LeBron. The first game was scheduled against LeBron, so you had to hear from it then. And, you know, I think it's just a good point, just boiled up to that moment where he probably felt like he could let it out and have no one hear about it. But, you know, it is the day where everything's on video, where everything's recorded. And even when they're asking him about it, he was like, yeah, he got me. And, you know, it's something you do have to think about today. Anything you do, anything you say could really just get caught on a video, on a recorder, and then it gets blasted out to the world like that. And, you know, it's not the most harmful thing you could probably, like, it wasn't, you know, racist or bigoted or anything like that. We hear a lot of people getting caught saying stuff like that. I mean,
it wasn't Cam Newton talking about, it's funny hearing women talk about running roots. Like, it wasn't Cam Newton level, you know, ignorance, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not something you want to say, but it's not the worst thing in the world either. Just a little harmless F you. It's another way of saying that, pretty much. And
I mean, like, if it was 86, nobody would ever heard Larry Bird say that to somebody. So it's been part of the game forever, unfortunately. And, I mean, it is kind of a bummer. I mean, social media has taken us – I mean, I wouldn't be where I am on my other, you know, social media aspects, you know, doing this. As well, though, you know, these guys can't, like, you can't even live life sometimes without being taped, you know? It's kind of unfortunate. The game can't be played and you can't trash talk, like, you know, because you get some idiot who has to tape it to be famous.
Yeah, and, you know, the guy who's standing there taping it's the guy who's starting it. And I said it on Twitter, too, you know, no one's asking the fan if he regrets yelling that at him. And I know it's not S my D, but at the same time, like, these fans in the crowd think they can just yell the most, you know, terrible stuff at these guys, and they're not even real humans who can hear that. I mean, the NBA crowd is so close, so much closer than any other sport. And so everything they say, you can hear out there, and you're close enough to practically touch these fans. And they've had incidents like that in the past with Ron Artest back in the day. It's always been Marcus Smart.
Yeah, Marcus Smart.
Himself at the college
back
level.
In college.
You know, it was
In that situation, speaking of bigotry, I believe the comment, according to Marcus Smart, if I'm not mistaken, that fan, that Texas Tech fan, because I believe that was a Texas Tech they were playing, made a bigoted comment towards Marcus Smart. And I mean, I'm one of those people that don't believe you can justify physically assaulting somebody because of words that they say, because physical assault is one thing, words are another. I don't, you know, you can't compare the two. But in situations like that, fans, you know, the security needs to be heightened. The league, and I know that was college ball, but in the NBA, the league needs to, you know, take away season tickets of fans like this, or block them from entering if they're repeated, offenders of stuff. Because you can't, just because they're playing and just because you pay for a ticket doesn't mean you can talk to them and treat them like animals. They're human beings, as we, you know, we know when we see players like Gordon Hayward go down, we feel for them. They're human beings. So,
and this wasn't one of those circumstances, you know, like, hey, Kyrie, where's LeBron? That's a pretty harmless thing, you know, and he's been hearing about it again and again.
He's just aggravated at that point.
S my D's probably a little worse than that, but, you know, both ways, you know, it's just kind of, it's harmless stuff, you know, no physical altercation there. Kyrie just said it as he was running right by. I don't even think he looked up at him and stopped. And Blair had a little longer thing he wanted him to say to him. They probably would have had to stop for him to say what Blair said.
Right.
But, you know, it's not a big deal. It hasn't impacted how they played at all. He paid the fine. The league doesn't want stuff like that. So if you do it, you're going to pay a fine. it was a minor fine for a minor thing he said, and you know, it just has no bearing on them going forward. I don't
think. I
wish it was
going to my bank account though, that fine, because that could be 25K.
Well, listen.
We live in different worlds.
Just to close out the topic of the, you know, the SMID, players say worse to each other every single game. Kevin Garnett once told Charlie Villanueva that he looked like a cancer patient. They, you know, he told Carmelo Anthony that La La tasted like Honey Nut Cheerios. I mean, he's talking about how his wife tastes. Worse things are said. I don't think the basketball court is really like a safe space for not hearing trash talk. You know what I mean? Definitely should be a safe space for physical violence. If you remember the Malice in the Palace when players were throwing beer on Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal was in the stands falcon punching, you know, fat fans in Detroit Pistons jerseys. But, you know, but in terms of just the, you know, bad words and those type of things, you just got to let it slide. And if Kyrie Irving says, you know, whatever he says, in my opinion as well, okay, he got the fine. He can afford it. Just move on. No big deal, in my opinion, because I've heard worse. I think most people have heard worse.
So
I love the KG stuff. I love KG. Anytime. Bring him back.
So Ty's on the line, Nick. Is he coming to talk to us, or is he just listening?
Oh, he's definitely – bring Ty in. Ty Ray from Washington from the 253. My computer just took a dump, so I can't plug him in myself. But if you could do that for me, Bobby, that would be awesome.
Yeah, here he is.
We definitely want to hear from Ty Ray.
Hey, guys. Welcome to a new year of Celtics basketball and the post-game show. It just seems like yesterday we were all talking, and it was the Eastern Conference semis, and we were so excited about the Celtics moving on to take on the Cavaliers. Remember that? Remember how excited we were? Now we've got a whole new team, man. It's just bizarre, man. Everything is so short-lived in this social media world we live in and this no-loyalty business we call the NBA. I have been taking some shots I hear on the post-game show. Is this true? Kids on the street are talking.
Matt Rury had some commentary on the previous post-game show, last post-game show, after the Celtics defeated the Sixers, about fans, you in particular, Ty Ray, being bitter about the Isaiah Thomas trade, still holding a little bit of feelings about that trade. So,
Rory has no feelings,
but Ty Ray, I hear you do. What's up, Ty?
Well, gee, I don't know, 5 months ago, this little guy from my city scores 53 points in game two of the Eastern Conference semis with four friggin' teeth knocked out and his sister dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from my hometown. And I see what he does for my hometown. Now, I get it's a business. I totally understand the trade, right, from a business standpoint. I know Kyrie's younger. Yeah, I get all that. I understand it. But to say that I'm bitter, I just think we're better fans than that. 5 months ago, we're having a historic night at the Garden, celebrating this amazing accomplishment, historic accomplishment that Isaiah Thomas does. We're talking 53 points. Legends have played for the Boston Celtics and haven't accomplished what he accomplished in a playoff game like that. So I'm not bitter, as I told Nick on the phone. I just wish that we wouldn't just dismiss last year's accomplishments so quickly, like, oh, well, it was nice. We're moving on.
Yeah, and that's what
last year, I agree.
100%
okay, last year. I moved on to this year. And by the way, you know, it is what it is. We're four games in tonight. They beat the friggin' Washington Generals. Who cares? You know, I just look at what we accomplished last year, and I don't want to be so dismissive of it because it was so incredibly special. And I think as an older guy, and I'm going to bring this card out, who was a fan for so many years and saw this huge gap between successful seasons, that
I did.
There you go. I'm not just so willing to just dismiss accomplishments and call players bitter or ungrateful because they were traded. I think Isaiah Thomas is an amazing human being, and I see what he does for my hometown, and I know what he did for the city of Boston.
Yeah.
And so it was a very special year. And I'll be damned if I'm going to get criticized because I think Kyrie Irving's got big friggin' shoes to fill.
Yeah. And
but you know what,
Ty? And I'm going to
say
this,
Ty
too.
Ray?
I, I haven't been bitterly sitting here, you know, complaining about the trade every single day, but part of me didn't like it. And
it
wasn't until more fallout came on the hip and we heard more about that where I started to ease into it a little bit. But, you know, this is something fans don't realize is that Kyrie, despite the name, despite the shoes, despite all the accomplishment, he hasn't proven it yet. And four games in now, we've seen some of the downsides of his game as well. These are two comparable players. And this wasn't a no-brainer move. The Celtics gave up a lot, and they pretty much gave up the identity of this last team. And, you know, I thought of Utah last Tuesday, right when Gordon Hayward went down, because, you know, me and you talked a lot last spring about enjoying what the Celtics were doing and appreciating how special of a season last year was. Look at where they are now. I mean, they're kind of identityless. They're moving into new young players. The season's going to have its ups and downs. I mean, it almost seems like there's no chance they'll be able to repeat what they did last year just because of the complexion of the roster. Can't rule them out completely in this conference, but
you look at
what they did last year now. I mean, you just got to appreciate that so much more now, seeing how fragile things can be and how uncertain things can be. We all thought this was going to be a season where they were borderline finals team, and then Hayward goes down night one. That just shows you got to appreciate that moment.
Thank you.
And, you know, it seemed like after acquiring, you know, one of the top free agents of the off season and trading for that, you know, shiny superstar, you know, for whatever you say about, you know, that you can debate Kyrie, where he ranks in the list of, you know, top point guards or whatever. He is a bona fide superstar. He has those shoes, as Bobby Manning, you know, mentioned, the endorsements. He's Uncle Drew. He has the commercials. He's a recognizable face in the NBA. But, you know, you can't dismiss what happened last year. And I think one of the most difficult parts about it, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, is I think the fact that Isaiah Thomas was, you know, in a way was deprived the opportunity to really, you know what I'm saying, accomplish more with this team, to accomplish something special with this team. It was kind of like his tenure here was cut short, and we didn't see what, you know, he could really do with the team that
potential.
He had. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It was the potential that was there, and it was kind of just cut short after such a, you know, such an intense, I don't want to say love affair, but such an intense, you know, quick, rapid, you know, we all gravitated to Isaiah Thomas immediately, and he gravitated to us as a Boston, you know, fan base. And it was just so quick, just in – now we'll never know, you know, what could have been with Isaiah Thomas there. And, yes, with the hip and everything else, it was probably the ideal trade. But like Bobby Manning said, Kyrie Irving has never taken the team to the Eastern Conference Finals without LeBron James. He's never made the playoffs.
On his
you know what?
Isaiah did that all by himself last year.
I have said that repeatedly, and, man, shots fired. The minute on Twitter I said, what has Kyrie Irving ever done without LeBron James? Oh, my God. I mean, I just took venom. But nobody could answer that question, though. I got a lot of hate, but nobody could answer that question. And
I don't hate
is,
you. I
Isaiah
totally
Thomas,
agree.
Yep. So two and a half years ago, the Celtics are what, 14-26 at the All-Star break when the Celtics acquired Isaiah Thomas from the Suns. Look at their record post that acquisition. That speaks for itself. Look at Kyrie's record.
What
did
we get?
Record.
The first playoff game that year? I think we made the playoffs that year.
Yeah, we got the first round. We got swept by the Cavaliers. The team had no business, mind you, being in the playoffs anyway.
Yeah,
we didn't.
I mean, that was all on Isaiah Thomas. I mean, it was.
Yep.
So,
Gigi
Datome
was playing alongside him.
So I'm not trying to be critical of Kyrie. I just don't want to be so dismissive of what Isaiah did in Green. That's the point I've been trying to make. And it's like, why are you so bitter? I don't know, because he was amazing. That's why I'm friggin' bitter.
Well, Ty, he's on the sidelines right now, but just wait until January 2018 when he's back in the Garden in the Cavaliers uniform. It's going to be a special, special night because you're going to have people on one side who have gone all in on the Kyrie train. You're going to have people like me and you who still, you know, lean toward Isaiah a little bit and feel like he got wrong just a little bit. But, you know, it's interesting. What do you think of the start of the Kyrie
era?
He's going to be cheered. I know it's only
four
games.
He's going to be cheered. Thunderous. He'll be cheered when he returns.
Before I get to that, Bobby, I'm going to say this, though. In game four of the Eastern Conference Finals last year, I actually – was under the illusion that the Celtics were going to tie that series up at two games apiece until one Mr. Kyrie Irving just had – well, Kyrie just had the most incredible third quarter I think I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just – do you guys
did.
Remember that? He
yeah.
single-handedly destroyed the Celtics, and they had no answer for him. So it's not like I don't know what this guy is capable of doing. And, of course, he hit the clutch shot against the Warriors in Game 7 in Oakland. Although, as I tried to point out to Nick Gelso tonight, one shot doesn't make a career. If it did, Bob Horry would be the best player of all time, right? I mean,
he'd
I'm
have
sorry.
Seven
one
careers.
One shot does not make a career. Yeah, he'd have seven careers. I mean, your career doesn't come down to just one shot, although that was pretty incredible. But I guess what I'm lacking from Kyrie, and I know he's just trying to fit in, and this is, I guess, what I miss. I miss that heart, that soul, that grit. I'm going to take over. I'm taking over the game. I'm not deferring. I'm putting the team on my back, and I'm taking over. And I just, at least through four games, I don't see that. I just don't see that. Maybe it'll come. You know, maybe it'll come. Tonight I thought he had an okay night. It was pretty pedestrian, I thought, by Kyrie standards. What, 21 points? Yeah, it's pretty pedestrian for Kyrie Irving.
He needs 40.
Well, you know what Kyrie Irving had for the longest time in Cleveland? Kyrie Irving had the ability to take nights off because he could defer when he wanted to. He was the Robin to LeBron James, Batman. He didn't have to step up every single night, and he can't do that here in Boston, especially now that Gordon Hayward isn't on the team because.
Yeah.
He is supposed to be the man. He might just be saved by Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum if they can continue to play this way consistently.
Right.
But you really get the feeling, this season really gets, you know, you get the feeling that after Gordon Hayward was acquired, after they traded for Kyrie Irving, the rebuild was complete. And then all of a sudden Gordon Hayward goes down, and now we're in this kind of like, well, let's develop our young players now. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a completely different feeling.
And, yeah, I'm
– go ahead, Bobby. I'm sorry.
I'm only going to give him so much room for error this year because, you know, everyone's saying, you know, close the doors, Hayward's down, it's all done. Irving's still a pretty high-caliber player to have leading your team. And, you know, people have talked about, you know, can this team make the playoffs? That shouldn't even be a discussion in this East. They have to be the sixth seed minimum with Kyrie Irving leading this team.
I totally agree.
And
I totally agree, especially with Big Al at the post. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And we haven't talked about him. I think, once again, he's the man. He makes it look so effortless out there, you know, and we don't talk about him.
And
he gets so much hate.
And who gets more unjust criticism than him? Oh, my God. We had a caller the other night going in and say Horford isn't doing enough again. It's just constant from these Celtics fans. I've never seen a player so underappreciated. You know, you talk about Isaiah being underappreciated. Remember how good Al was last season all year?
Oh, the postseason?
Turned it up for the playoffs. And all everyone's talking about is where are the points. Like, that's never been Horford. But I guess it's a points league, and it's all everybody focuses on. Tonight, again, phenomenal in every single area.
He just does everything well.
I have a question for you guys, though, about Al Horford.
Go ahead.
A question real quick. Al Horford is what now, 32 years old? He's on the second year of his four-year contract, and this is basically a year where it's up in the air, minus Gordon Hayward. I think the expectation of making the finals or challenging the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals is basically not going to happen. We hope and we pray, but it's probably not going to happen.
Hey,
how does Al Horford fit going
Somebody
forward in the
hurt.
Future? How does Al Horford fit going forward in the future, being 32 years old, already halfway through his contract on a year that's kind of, I don't want to say wasted, but a year that's not as expected? You got two more years left of Al Horford on what was a max contract. Does he get re-signed at 34 years old or 35 years old, or is he kind of just a transitional piece until Danny Ainge finds the big man that he really, really wants? I mean, as much as we love Al Horford, this is not a criticism of his talent, but how does he fit into the projection going forward?
Yeah, well, we know that Danny doesn't care, right? He'll unload it. Right?
It's business.
No matter what you've
all
done
business.
In Green.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. It's all business. So I think we've answered that question with what transpired.
I'm
going to
be real cynical right now. I'm going to be real cynical right now and say that if Gordon Hayward hadn't already signed his max contract, if he was coming up on a contract year and blew his foot off, he might be on the trade by. They might be taking trade, you know, because look, Rajon Rondo, 27 years old, Rajon Rondo, 27 years old, tears his ACL, traded at 28, coming up on the contract season. Isaiah Thomas, 27 years old, coming up on a contract season, busts up his hip, traded as soon as he turns 28 so they can avoid paying him. Gordon Hayward came on the max contract, so he's not going to get traded because he's already here, but that's how Danny operates. It's just the business mentality.
Well, you know, that's a good point on the health, Nick, because we haven't really thought about this much with Horford here, but they do get to be careful with him. And there's a new training staff this year. They're really trying to go the analytics way with keeping their players healthy, managing their workload, managing their minutes. And Horford's a guy in the past who's dealt with pretty major injuries, torn biceps, torn pecs, really things you don't want to mess around with. So, yeah, they do definitely have to keep an eye on that going forward because, you know, say they ever do want to unload him, the value's not great right now with how big of a contract he has. But, I mean, you don't want to stuck with him being damaged goods going forward either. And, you know, I don't think he's done anything wrong in his tenure here so far. But if he gets hurt, that would be a tough load to carry. And, you know, it's something they really got to consider going forward with everybody. You know, Hayward was a major loss and impossible to replace. But if a second guy goes down, it's gonna be debilitating to this team.
It's so true. Although, man, the depth on this team is much better.
I don't
than
think
I
it's debilitating.
It
I gotta disagree
you know,
with Dan, that one.
I look at a guy like Daniel Tice and Aaron Baines, and we haven't even seen Marcus Morris play yet. You know,
Tice,
right?
Vanilla Tice.
Yeah, very good. I'll make one more comment about Kyrie, and I'll let you go. And I guess I wouldn't be so critical of him if he doesn't state that he kind of wants to be the man and leave Cleveland, right? If you want to be the man, then you got to take the heat, right? You got to take the responsibility. You've got to own it. You got to grow a pair and you got to own it. And let me read you this quote tonight, Jay King on Twitter. Kyrie Irving on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They're demanding a lot of themselves, which I appreciate it. Hey, Kyrie, I'd like to demand a little bit more of you, and I'd appreciate that, you know? I mean, I can't believe that Kyrie would say this about Jaylen and Jason. They're demanding a lot of themselves. Well, I mean, I feel the same about Kyrie. I'm just demanding more, right? I'm demanding more.
Yeah, and that's a great point. We're going to keep watching that going forward. And I think you're one of the few and one of the right in that we got to hold Irving to a high standard here. We just can't stick to that perception that he's great
because
of
how
the
league treats
him. Yeah, there's a free pass
even
his whole career.
Can I just make one more statement and I'll let you guys go? Do you remember when Isaiah was averaging like all those 20-point games in a row, set the Celtics record, averages what, 29 points a game? He still took criticism. And just because I want Kyrie to be the guy and not defer and be a leader out there, I mean, that's pretty mild compared to the crap that Isaiah took last year. I mean,
yeah,
anyway,
no doubt.
I'll let you guys go. But I thought it was really telling when Sarah said, our best player went down and she said Gordon Hayward. Thank you, Sarah.
It might have been. But before you go, Ty, I want to ask everybody a question. Let's go down the line, Ty, and then Sarah and Bobby.
We got to let Ty go, but yeah, I'll answer one more question.
One of the big sticking points was that Isaiah Thomas couldn't play defense and he had to go. What do you guys think of Kyrie Irving's defense? Has he made a defensive impact that's that much more significant than what Isaiah Thomas was doing?
I'm waiting for it, and he hasn't done it his whole career, and through four games he hasn't either. The guy dies on screens, which is the worst thing you can do in today's NBA. He'll pick up a, you know, opportunistic steal every once in a while where a guy's just holding the ball out and he'll go out and grab it, but there's so much more that he can offer there. He has size, he has length. He's got to do it, and I think Stevens is going to demand that out of him, and hopefully it's an area where he'll grow this year.
Makes sense. Sarah, you like Kyrie's defense?
You like how I'm blunt? I'm like, no, he kind of sounds right now.
Yeah, it's really all there is to
Not
it.
Impressed.
And
I don't even need to give you a diverse, full article on it. No, he sucks at defense right now. He's not stepping up to be the leader that we thought he would. Again, only four games in. I'll give him a break. In 10 games, he better start stepping up.
That's a good wrap right there. That's all there is to say about Irving so far. So far, you got 1 week where the team is just out of whack and you lose your best player, as Sarah would say. Now it's week two. The offense has been reorganized. let's see what he's capable of. And that's a wrap tonight. The last thing we got to say is Greats. Nick mentioned it going into the break, but Greats is offering awesome deal to CLNS listeners. They're the maker of great shoes right out of Brooklyn, New York. And they have a very diverse selection for men and women, stylish stuff. Nick Gelso has a pair. They look great on him. And all of our listeners can get a deal over there, 15% off with Celtics Roundtable. That's one word, Celtics Roundtable. Go over to greats.com, take a look. If something catches your eye, you're going to get 15% off. Celtics Roundtable. Thanks to them for sponsoring the postgame show. All the callers tonight, we're a little over an hour right now. It's been great talking with you guys tonight. Thank you to Sarah. Thank you to Nick for filling in tonight and helping out. We had to shift some bodies around tonight, as we often do over here, and he is the best when it comes to that. So thank you, Nick. Great work tonight hosting. Sarah, amazing work in your first regular season game. I'm liking the show so far, guys. It's good, good stuff. So we'll see you next time. And be sure to get this on iTunes the next day, every single day, Celtics postgame show. You can subscribe to that on iTunes. We will see you soon. Thursday. I don't even need to say soon. We actually have the next show is Thursday at the Milwaukee Bucks. Josue Pavone is hosting. I'm out. Peace.